I just want to share a little bit of vision, I think, this morning that I felt like God placed on my heart just the last couple of days. And if I had to title it this morning, it would be The Right Thing, The Right Way. The Right Thing, The Right Way. How many know that you can do the right thing the wrong way? The words you speak might be right, but if the attitude is wrong, it messes everything up. There is a way that you can do the right thing the wrong way. Tell your sister you're sorry. Sorry. The words are right. The attitude is nowhere near. Some of you parents know what I'm talking about, right? You can do the right thing the wrong way. And we feel like sometimes, how many have ever heard the phrase, the end justifies the means? So it doesn't really matter how we do it as long as we get to the right conclusion. It may not sound right. We may not have the right attitude, but we're going in the right direction. So the end justifies the means. You can have the best of intentions, but be putting your efforts towards the wrong thing. And this is where I'm going today. First Chronicles chapter number 12 begins, and they're just going to have to hopefully follow me a little bit this morning. I'm not sure what even scriptures I'm going to use and not use. But First Chronicles 12, David is anointed king over all of Israel. There's a great coming together and a great unification of the country, and they're getting behind him. And he's becoming the king over all of Israel. And in chapter 13, David begins to ask a question. He consults the captains over thousands and the captains over hundreds and the leaders, and he says, if it seem good and that it be of the Lord, let us send for everybody to gather together, and then we're going to go get the ark of God, because I don't know if you realized it, guys, but we didn't inquire at it in the time of Saul. The whole time Saul is king, remember the Ark of the Covenant was stolen by the Philistines in battle. It should have never been in battle, but Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of the priest, took it into battle because they were losing, and the Philistines took it with them, and it went into the temple of Dagon, and that didn't work out well for them. And so they put it off in somebody else's house because they didn't want to mess with it, and the people of God never inquired about it in the time of Saul. So David said, I'm coming together as king, and you've anointed me, and I know that you're behind me. So if it seem right to you, and if it seems like if it's God's will, then let's go get everybody together, and let's go get the ark of God and bring it back where it needs to go. So verse number 4 of chapter 13, and it said, and all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. Say, it was right. It's the right thing. It's the right thing. There was, and it was all the people. We talked about unity this morning. Everybody agreed. There was no dissenting voices. It was the right thing to do. Skip ahead to verse 7. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. Verse 8. And David and all of Israel played before God with all of their might. Say, their might. And with singing, and with harps, and with the psalteries, and with the timbrels, and with the cymbals, and with the trumpets. Verse 9 and verse 10. And when they came unto the threshing floor of Shaddan, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him, because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. The right thing, the wrong way. Was it the right thing to go after the presence of God? Absolutely. Everybody agreed it's the right thing. But what we find in verse number 7 is the Bible says that they carried the Ark of the Covenant on a new cart and with some oxen. That was never the way that it was designed to be carried. If you go back to the pattern that he spoke about today, when Moses received the pattern on how to build the ark, there were staves that were put together in the rings for the high priest to put on their shoulders. It was always the intent of the Lord for the ark to be carried on the ministry's shoulders and to be moved from place to place that way. Not in an easy way, not in a more simplistic way, not in a man-made way like a cart and oxen. It was not God's plan. And so David thinks they're doing the right thing, but they do it the wrong way, and the oxen stumble, and the cart begins to begin to get off kilter, and Uzzah just reaches out to steady it, and because of that he lost his life, and David became scared. Well, how are we going to move it back into the city of Jerusalem? I don't know how. This road is rutted and it's got potholes everywhere. It looks like Indiana in the summertime. That's what it looks like. And there's no way for us to continue on with this ark not moving a little bit. And so how are we going to? So he puts it to the side in somebody's house. And for 3 months, they didn't bring it in. For 3 months, David wasn't sure what to do. 3 months, it sat in the house of Obed-Edom, and Obed-Edom was blessed because the ark was there. Chapter 15, David decided, said, listen, I've been reading this book, and it tells us that we need to prepare a place for the ark, so I'm going to do that. And then it says, I've been looking, and there's a right way to do this. There's a purpose behind what God said. And so if we call all the Levites together and if we put it in the same plan that God had from the very beginning, there's a way to bring his presence back into Jerusalem. There's a way to do this. And so David prepares a place and the Levites should come and carry the ark because he said, we need to do it the right way. There was never a question it was the right thing. It was just done the wrong way. So now we're going to correct it and do it the right way. Verse 26. This is chapter 15? Yeah. And it came to pass, when God helped the Levites that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that they offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams. God helped the Levites because they were doing it the right way. God was in it because it was being done the right way. It was never a bad idea, it was a right idea. But they were doing it with man's concepts and man's ideas and man's priorities. And when they aligned that with God, God was in it. And God was able to help them on the way forward. He helped the Levites. When you do it God's way, there is always provision. When you do it according to God's plan, there's always provision in the way, always provision in the path. There's always a way made where there seems to be no way, but you have to do it God's way. How are we going to do it? Let me put my hands to it. Let me work it out. David said, I've got to go get the ark. And I'm sure that it was a well-meaning person that said, hey, I've got a new cart. I can build it. I've got some new oxen. They can pull it. I've got ways that we can make this happen. And it almost seems like a shortcut and we can do it quicker than what we maybe perhaps could have done it the other way. And let me put my hands to this and let me work it out in my mind. How are we going to do this? Verse 8, David and all Israel, the Bible says, if you look back in chapter 13, David and all Israel played with all their might. It wasn't a lack of effort. Right thing, right effort, the wrong way doesn't equal revival. Right thing, right effort, faithfulness to the house of God, doing the things you think you should do, but the wrong way will never equal revival. Well, what's the right way, Pastor? It's according to the Word of God. Getting our ideas out of the way, getting our thoughts and priorities out of the way, and trusting that God's way is the right way. It's not enough to use all of our might. That's how we think. That's how our finite mind thinks. I'm just going to work as hard as I can. And that's okay if it's coupled with God's way. But it doesn't matter how hard you work. If it's man's way, it's never going to work. It doesn't matter how much effort you put into it. It doesn't matter how much overtime you clock in. If it's under man's ways, it will not work. We've got to trust God and his way. It's not enough to use all of our might if we're pushing in the wrong direction. Zechariah chapter 4. You can help me, Brother Randy. I'm almost done. Zechariah 4. God gives Zechariah a vision, and he said, I don't understand. And he followed this up by saying to Zechariah, you don't understand because you're thinking of this in finite human terms. So let me explain it to you. It's not by might. Well, we've got a lot of people. We're gathering everybody, captains of thousands and hundreds, and we're going to go get the ark. It's not by might. Well, we've got the numbers, and we're just going to blitz the city, and we're going to see revival, but it's not by might. And it's not even by power, and it's not by money. So a lot of times I think we have the mind and concept of if we can just get enough money in the bank, we can get this done. We can build a building. We can do all this. Yeah, does that have to come into play at some point? Sure. But that's not our plan. That's God's plan. And it's not up to us to have the financing available in our bank account to see the way forward. That's not walking by faith. Many times God's way looks unfinanced. And I'm not just talking about money. Many times, God's way looks like there's no provision for it. But if you trust him, he said, it's not by might, it's not by power, but what is it by? By my spirit, saith the Lord. And he goes on, we stop in that verse sometimes and we don't connect it to the next verse. You know what he tells the next, what he says in the next verse? Who art thou, great mountain? You know that song we sing around here? Who are you, great mountain? That came from Zechariah. When he said, it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my spirit. And then he speaks to the mountain and he said, who art thou, great mountain? Before Zechariah, thou shalt become a plain or a flat place. Because it's God's way. If we would put our constructs of what this revival is going to look like to the side. We don't have the capability of looking into next week and next month and figuring out what God's doing necessarily down the road. We don't have that responsibility of figuring out the way it's going to work. The only thing that matters is that we do it God's way. David said, listen, I tried it on my own. I tried it with the blessing of the people. I tried it with the unity of the people, but we didn't do it the right way. So this time I'm going to make sure we do it the right way. This time I'm going to make sure we do it exactly how God prescribed. And what we see is an incredible revival. They bring that ark of God into the city of Jerusalem, and we see that it never leaves. I'm thankful. Hear me today. I'm thankful for the gifting and the talents and the abilities that are in this room today. I'm grateful for it. I'm thankful for the wisdom that God has given us already to this point, but it's not enough to know the right thing. We have to do the right thing. We're going to grow. Hear me today. This is vision casting. We are going to grow. We are already growing. I've shared with you over the last 15 and 16 weeks what God has begun to do in our church and the people that have been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. We are going to grow. That's not the issue. We are going to see revival. Those are the right things, but we have to do it his way. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. It said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. His word is, not our ability. My ability does not show anything in front of me that I can grow from. My ability is just if it's harnessed in the right way. God can use it, but it's not the end all be all. He gives us the tools. He gives us, you talked about the body fitly framed together, members, all of us, but we're fitly framed together. We need what he's given us, but it's got to be used in his way. The right thing, the right way. Why does that matter? Because I believe that we will only see the revival that God has for us by doing it his way. It may not look like what we think it will look like in our mind. It may not look like what we've preconceived over the last 5 and 10 years of prayer. But ultimately, if we trust him, he'll bring to pass what needs to happen. He'll bring to pass what needs to transpire. And the bottom line is this, Psalms 127:1, except the Lord build the house. This is what God put in my spirit. Except the Lord build the house. I want to put every effort I have. And sometimes we're waiting on something and direction to put our effort behind. And we got a little bit anxious. Abraham did that and it cost him. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. It's not enough to just put time and effort in if it's not in the right direction. We've got to trust that God's going to order our steps. And when we see the direction and when we see the steps being laid out in front of us, then we put our time, then we put our effort, then we put our finances, and we put it behind the way that he's laid out in front of us. Yes. And except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. I'd like for you to stand with me today. I'm so honored today. I can't tell you. The memories that I hadn't even thought of for a while in that picture, in the pictures, and the kind words. You guys have been so supportive from day one. But I don't want to rest on laurels. I don't want to say, okay, well, we've had a good year so far. Let's just sit back because it's summertime and we'll see what God wants to do in the fall. No, well, God's got a plan. And when he begins to lay out his steps in front of us, it's our job to then take the talents and the ability he's given us and we put it behind his way. The right thing, the right way. There's no question to me that the desire of this house and this people is to see a great revival. There's no question in this room today that we would love to break ground on a new building tomorrow if we could. And I'm all for it, and I'm ready to do it. When God says go, I'll be the first one to pull the trigger. It's going to happen, but we're going to do it His way. We may not want to the timing that comes with it. We may not like the requirements that He puts alongside it, but if you do it His way, it's blessed, and you'll have provision along every step that you take. I want us to pray today. This is kind of a vision cast, a milestone, and looking forward of where God wants us to be. We're grateful for where He's brought us from. I'm thankful for the foundation that was here when I got here. There was an incredible foundation that was laid. And you all have been so incredible of just putting your shoulder to the wheel and helping us get where we're at today. And I'm thankful for that. But this isn't the end of where God wants us to be. So we're at a precipice. We're at a kind of intersection now where we say, okay, God, we're here because you brought us this far, but I don't want to expend my efforts and my abilities and my talents in a direction that you're not pointing. So show us. Give us wisdom and discernment. Give us direction and show us steps that we need to take. And then when we see the step, it may only be one step. That's all it was for Abraham. Abraham, go and I'll show you. You just have to take a step, Abraham. That may be all it is. But if we can have that one step, we know we're in the will of God. And then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it looks like. We just take the step because we know that He's already told us that the steps are ordered of the Lord. Would you pray with me this morning that God would lay out some steps in front of us as a church? Would you help me just lift up your hands and your voice right now? Lord, we ask today for wisdom and discernment as we begin to move forward. God, you've done so many incredible things over the past 5 years. God, I've seen some incredible movements of your presence. I've seen answers to prayer. God, I've seen people filled with your spirit and baptized in your name. I've seen walls come down and I've seen mountains moved. I've seen all of that up to this point, God. But we want decisions moving forward. We want to know that we're in your will. We don't want to rely on our strength. We need your strength. We don't want to rely on our thoughts or my thoughts. We need your thoughts. God, this is your revival. God, this is your city. God, this is your community. This is your church. This is your bride. And we just want to be the facilitator of falling after your will right now. Lord, humbly, we just kind of put ourselves on the altar this morning of direction and wisdom and discernment. And we pray, God, that you would continue to lead as you have into the revival that you have in store for this place. Because there are souls in this community that need to hear your voice. God, there's people in this room that were not here 5 years ago, but you found a way to bring them into your church and into your truth. Now I pray over the next 5 years that we'll see a doubling of our church, God, that we will see an expansion of the kingdom of God in Warsaw, Indiana. Lord, we want this to be your church. We relinquish every control to you, God. You are God and we are not, and we trust you today. We want to see revival. We want to see it in our families. We want to see it in our finances. God, we want to see it in our community. And we know that you care more about these things than even we do. But it's not enough to want the right thing. We've got to do it the right way. And God, we want your way to be made plain. Help us, oh God. And give us the faith when you show us to take the step, even if it's one. Take the step that you've laid in front of us. Lord, I thank you for these things. Can we just give him praise for a moment for what he's already done?
Hallelujah. Lord, I love you. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
I've learned in my tenure in ministry that some of the biggest victories come when you weren't even expecting them. And the reason I believe God does that is he reserves that glory for himself. Because had we seen it coming, we would have put our hands on it and we'd have tried to take control and we'd have tried to maneuver in some way because we thought we knew better. Those greatest victories come when we don't even know they're coming. So how do you prepare for those? Every day you get up and say, okay, God, you guide my steps. How do you reach somebody on your job? It's not just through might and power. It's not getting up on a lunch table in the cafeteria every day and screaming Bible studies. I'm all for being who we are wherever we are, but there's wisdom. And it all, and you can push as hard as you want. If it's not God's timing and it's not His way, it won't work. So here's what you do. God, You guide my steps. If there's somebody that You want me to speak to, let that door just crack open. And when I see a door open, I'll walk through it. He doesn't expect us to create these moments. He'll do it for us. And then it's our responsibility with the gift that He's given us, that gift of the Holy Ghost, that nudge in the Spirit that we feel that we don't like sometimes, then it's our responsibility to take the step, because it's not our idea at that point. It's His. It's not our responsibility to save somebody. It's His. It's not our idea to decide if the ground is worth sowing. That's His. We just have to sow. Man, I believe that if we will wake up every morning, individually, as a family, and as a church, and say, God, Your will, Your way, Your purpose, Your steps, You show me a step and I'll take it. If we will live by that, I do believe in the next 5 years we can double our church. We can see more. In 5 years we can't be in here. I would love for that to be the problem. I would love for this to be the fellowship hall in 5 years. I would love for this to be something other than where we're at right now. I would love that, but it's going to take God's design, it's going to take God's purpose, and it's going to take His timing and His way, and we've got to trust Him in that. Are you with me there? Are you with me? Let's pray one more time. Lord, we're kind of in this moment here, and we're just trusting You. This is just one more time for us to say, God, we trust You, and we're placing this future in Your hands. Lord, it's your will. It's for sure a right thing to have revival, but we want to do it the right way. Lay whatever foundation you need to lay, open whatever doors you need to open, and close whatever door needs to be closed. We trust You in all of these things. This is Your church and Your bride. We don't own any of this. We're only here by Your mercy and Your grace. Help us, God, to hear Your voice, to follow Your voice, to discern Your voice in this culture. We give You all the praise for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.